Anything combat with Johnny K.
Well, it's anything combat, though.
Johnny, you're the man.
Welcome back, combatants, to the Anything Combat Show, wherein we discuss everything mixed martial arts. I'm your host, Johnny K. Today, we've got a sponsor. Mike Swick has sponsored this episode with AKA Thailand. You guys really need to check out this gym. When I was in Thailand, in Phuket, thoroughly enjoyed it. The gym has great trainers, and their new addition with the poolside attachment to the gym and all the other stuff that they're working on. This is a must-visit gym, and Mike's an absolute gentleman, so you guys will have a lot of fun there. You'll learn great Muay Thai. He's got some great coaches down there, and the people down there are great. So thank you, Mike, for giving me this plaque and signing it to me. It's much appreciated. Go check out AKA Thailand.
Chomping at the bit, Johnny. Let's go.
So yeah, guys, I was just in Thailand and I'll tell you about it. It was a lot of fun. I think everyone should go to Thailand. It's such an interesting country. Everybody that lives there, the actual Thai people, are the most beautiful people in the world. Thai people are the nicest humans to ever live. And anyone that hasn't gone to Thailand, you have to go. Trust me. I've never met such nice people in my life. I had a really good fucking trip there, and my knees were fucked up. They're all cooked up, so there wasn't any training done. But I went around, visited AKA Thailand, visited Tiger Muay Thai and Simbi, and the guys at Bang Tao, like George and Frank Hickman. Really good people. Really enjoyed a great experience. I'm going to go back there 100% to do some training. Just the quality and the amount of people there was crazy. One thing that I didn't know about, though, was that there were so many Russians. I believe there was, in the last year, Thailand, with a population of like 78 million or something, there was 1 million Russian immigration in 2023. I believe that is to do with the basically escaping conscription from the war. So really fucking interesting time. While I was in my hotel room, there was like 300, 400 people there, and the majority of them were Russians. I didn't find any Australians at the hotel. I only found Russians. So that gave me an opportunity to work on my Russian.
M coming for the kill.
Let's get into the topics that I have for today. The first one being Shavkat Rakhmonov versus Ian Garry. What card is this on? Okay, so UFC 310, December 8th, Shavkat Rakhmonov, 18-0, 18 finishes, will take on Ian Garry, 15-0. I'm not calling this guy Machado. I don't know what the fuck that shit is. That's not his name. His name's Ian Garry. So these guys were former training partners, and this fight is a deceivingly difficult fight to call and to predict. Why is it a deceiving fight? It's a deceiving fight because Ian is so much better than what people give him credit for, and Shavkat, there's a lot of questions whether or not his striking is crisp enough and his defensive work is good enough. Now, the information we have from Killcliffe and all the places that he's trained at is that he's marauded everybody. So if the information we have from the gyms is that he's destroyed everybody, then that's your answer. Then you look at his record, 18 wins, 18 finishes, 0 defeats. This is a once-in-a-lifetime athlete. This is never been done before in the sport, and I believe now that this fight, when I last checked on Tapology, is a 5-round, 5-minute fight. In my opinion, that is enough time for Shavkat to finish Ian. Back to why it's deceivingly difficult to call this fight. Ian Garry may have the crisper striking over Shavkat and may in fact go on later to beat someone like a JDM, to beat someone like Usman maybe, and then go and get the belt. Because I like what Ian Garry's doing. Ian Garry is moving around similar to a fucking pirate, and going to all these different gyms. He's at Bang Tao, he's at Shooter Box, he's at these guys in the UK, he's at Killcliffe. He's getting all this knowledge. There's a quote by Gilbert Burns. He said, "You're young, you should travel the world," because he needs to get as much information as possible. I think Ian Garry should learn a little bit more offensive wrestling for the remainder of his career. Now, the reason I'm actually bringing up Ian's future of his career is because I believe that if he loses this fight, he's still going to be up there to beat people like a Bilal Muhammad and to then go on to win the belt. I don't think this is a set in stone match. I think any guy can win this. I think Ian and Shavkat both have a very good chance of beating each other. I think Shavkat has a good chance of stuffing the takedowns, keeping strong in the clinch. You know, Shavkat's probably going to strike him going into the clinch. And then Ian's got a very good body lock and clinch game to turn him out, get out of there, and then get back and engage in the striking in the middle. And then when it's in the middle, Shavkat's going to have trouble with someone that's so advanced at striking. Ian can lose this and then go on to get the belt. I like the fact that he's moved around to all these different gyms. The fact that we saw in the MVP match that he was able to control him with the jiu-jitsu, similar to Charles Oliveira, because he's done so much work at Shooter Box. I really like the fact that I saw that. Ian Garry is younger than Shavkat. He's actually 3 years younger. Shavkat had a quote. His quote was that Ian will get the world championship, but Shavkat had to get it first. He said this when they were both at Killcliffe and they trained together. Another thing that people fail to look at here is that in the sparring footage, everyone's looking at the sparring footage about how Ian's striking looked so crisp when they were at Killcliffe with that one clip. Shavkat has released a statement saying that he submitted Ian Garry and that they haven't used that footage. These guys are both very long, and I think that that's really going to favour Ian in the striking, unless Shavkat can make it a little bit more dirty and slow him down. This is why I'm actually picking Ian to win the earlier rounds, maybe one and two, or maybe just the first round, because I feel like that distance is going to be seriously hard. It's going to be really hard for Shavkat to get his dirty kind of brawling game going if Ian is at range with him at the very start of the match. This is why I think Ian will win that first round. But my official prediction for this fight is that Shavkat will finish Ian Garry in the fourth round due to ground and pound. I think that Shavkat has shown that his submission offense is very good, and Ian Garry has shown that his submission defense and sub game and grappling game has increased. So I think that Shavkat's going to have difficulty submitting him, and that we're going to get a similar position to Wonderboy, where he had him in the DAS kind of side control, and Wonderboy was on his side and Shavkat was dropping elbows onto his head. I think that we're going to get the same thing with Ian, and then Shavkat's going to punch him out and ground and pound him in the fourth. Why do I say this? Let's get into it. So, I believe Shavkat is one of those guys that if you train with him, seeing that he beats everybody and he has beaten everybody and he's shown nothing but winning, this is the only thing that this guy does is fucking win. If you think about it, this guy's a fucking nomadic, Kazakhstani, scary bloke with a fucking feather hat. This bloke doesn't give a fuck. I think that Ian Garry is overestimating his training against Shavkat. I think that Shavkat's a guy that if you train with him, you're not going to even see the best version of him. Because if you're able to train with him, touch spar, touch, you know, grapple and do some jits with him and submission grappling, I feel like he would let you off in a whole bunch of positions. However, in the cage, he's shown not to do that. No matter who it is, if it's fucking Jeff Neal and Ian Gary's taking him to a decision. Shavkat's going to submit him. If it's Neil Magny and Ian Gary's hurting him, yet not finishing him, and Shavkat rinses easy work of him. I think Shavkat is one of those guys that everything he throws is to hurt, and he paces himself very well. He's a very good paced athlete. Now, do we know if his pace is good for fourth and fifth round? I don't know. I'm looking at his record so far, and with all the pacing, I see no fourth round and no fifth round. However, I don't think this is an issue. I think that Ian Gary in this fight is the better paced fighter because he can take it to a decision and he's good for a three-round boring fight. He has a high enough fight IQ to make it into a boring fight. Shavkat does not have that type of style. He doesn't like the boring fights. He likes to rush. He likes to finish the fight. Because of this, the longer the fight goes, of course it would favor Ian Gary. But there's one thing that you can't ignore, which is that Shavkat is the definition of a finisher. 18 wins, 18 finishes, 100% finish rate, never seen before in the history of MMA at this level of the competition. Because he's finished all the UFC guys. And another thing we haven't seen is that he has even submissions to knockouts. Like a roundabout that. So if he's knocking out half of the guys and submitting half of the guys, that means he's lethal everywhere. The longer the fight goes, of course it's going to favor Ian. But that's if it was a point fighting contest. If it's a fight where Shavkat will make it into a fight and will track him to make it into a fight, the amount of damage and how much damage he puts on Ian to slow him down, it doesn't matter for this fight in particular, because the longer the fight goes, he's going to take a lot more damage. Now, if he can't get the damage going on Ian because he can't get his takedowns and Ian's kind of staying on the outside making a really boring point fight, then Ian's going to win a decision on Shavkat 3-2 unanimous. However, I don't see this happening. I think that Shavkat in the second and third round will get going and really put a pace on him to hurt him. A lot of knees to the body, a lot of elbows, and really just slow him down by hurting him. And then eventually it'll be too much. He'll put him on the ground. He might go for a rear naked choke. He might go for a guillotine, but he'll end up in a position where he'll ground and pound him on the mat, and the ref will stop it in the fourth round. Ian Gary, from a skill-based perspective, is a very good fighter. He's got striking. He's got different versions of striking. He's got a lot of Taekwondo stuff. He's got a lot of karate stuff, Muay Thai. So from a striking point of view, I would give Ian Gary like a 9.5. His jiu-jitsu has gone really fucking good lately, so that's looking good too. But he can't offensively wrestle. He can only defensively wrestle, and he's really good in the clinch. So Ian Gary's skills are there. He's a gun. Both of these fighters, I believe both of these guys can fight in the opposite stance. I know Shavkat does it, but I don't know if Ian does it that much. I believe he's more of an orthodox fighter. I can't find the stances on both of these guys on Sherdog and Tapology, but in my opinion, I think Ian's more of a orthodox fighter, and I think Shavkat can do switch. But guess what? Who knows? Both of these guys are so good that I wouldn't be surprised if both of them can do switch stance. So I don't think that's really an important factor in the fight. I think both of them understand striking very well, and I think Ian Gary actually understands striking better, and his shot selection is very good. However, the reason I bring up Ian Gary's skill set and why I'm very complimentary of it is because Shavkat Rakhmonov has far more skills than Ian Gary. Where Ian has a good clinch, Shavkat does damage in the clinch. Where Ian strikes with his opponent, Shavkat strikes and gets him in a position where he can finish him. Ian strikes and then tries to play on the outside and run around them. Shavkat strikes and then shoots a takedown, puts them down, submits them, or either ground and pounds them, or puts them up against the cage and finishes them. So you're talking about two very different styles. One's a point fighter, one's a finisher. Now, can Shavkat point fight? Yes, he can, and that's why I think Shavkat's better. Shavkat also has the offensive wrestling where Ian cannot offensively wrestle. And for a big man, a long man, a tall person, offensively wrestling with a tall frame is far superior than a shorter person wrestling. It means that you can cover more distance, you have more leverage to take people down. And against Ian, who is very good at takedown defense, I think that it's going to help Shavkat immensely grabbing those tall legs because he loves kicking. So the more that he kicks Shavkat, the more Shavkat can take him down. Ian can't take Shavkat down. Shavkat can take Ian down. And I believe from a jiu-jitsu point of view, we haven't seen it, but maybe they're even. I would give a slight edge to Shavkat just from what we've seen. I've seen too many submissions by Shavkat not to think that he has better submission offense than Ian. When Shavkat fought a similar style, not really similar, but a similar style to Ian Garry, he was injured. I believe he had a foot injury, and it was against Wonderboy. During that fight, he dominated that fight. He didn't take any damage. He put him down, and he was the first man to submit Wonderboy. Now, if that's not telling, if that doesn't tell you anything about a karate-based fighter, I don't know what does. That's a lot of evidence saying that Shavkat, an injured version of Shavkat, can still beat that type of karate style. Now, does Wonderboy have the jiu-jitsu that Ian has? No, he does not, and that's why this fight's interesting. I still think that Shavkat is going to have the superior submission offense, that even though Ian's improved his submission defense so well, it still won't matter. It will lead to a finish. Because Shavkat, he has a dirty style, and dirty being that everything is blunt. It's a knee, it's an elbow. It slows the person down, damaging and cutting them, and also knees to the body, which you feel from the start all the way to the finish, all the way to the end of the match. The knees to the body will slow down Ian over the course of 25 minutes. If you keep on kneeing someone in the stomach, their breath, their cardio, and their power is going to be taken away because they don't have enough cardio to sustain that for 25 minutes. And that's why I feel like if Shavkat starts the fight how he usually starts, that he's only going to get to Ian because Ian runs away throughout the match. He's only going to get to him around the third, fourth, and fifth, and he'll finish him in the latter part of the fight via the damage that he's done, he's sustained to the body or to whatever. He'll knock him down or hurt him to the body, and then he'll finish him with the ground and pound strikes, seeing that Ian's going to have good enough submission defense to get away from those submissions that Shavkat's going to be trying to get on him. The striking between the two, I keep on referring to how Ian's such a good striker, which he is. However, somehow, with Shavkat's dirty style that doesn't look as clean as Ian's or as techie, as the soccer players like to call it, Shavkat has a better accuracy than Ian. Ian at 55%, Shavkat has 61%. Even though Shavkat has a more dirty style, he's still landing at a more efficient clip than Ian, which just goes to show you that once he's marching you down and slows you down, the shot selection becomes a little bit better for Shavkat, meaning that the longer a fight goes, it favors Shavkat. Meaning Shavkat could probably beat a Bilal Muhammad, beat a Leon Edwards, guys that wither under pressure. Now, does Ian Garry wither under pressure? I don't think so. I think that he's a long fight fighter. He's a 25-minute fighter. However, where he can wither is if the damage is, he's sustained too much damage in the fight, which Shavkat, as I've accurately extrapolated, Shavkat has that ability to wither away an opponent, and I think that that's exactly what he will do to Ian. However, Ian Garry is really good in the clinch. I know Shavkat likes to run at his opponent and knee them in the body and then try and get his elbows off. He throws a couple Kazakh punches. He throws that Gennady Golovkin Kazakhstani style, the let's say you'll have a cross. Let's say you'll have a hook, you know, power hook, a four to the body, to the head, and he'll triple down on these cross, on these hooks, these power hooks from the power side. Or he'll throw a two into a two into a two. So he likes to triple down like the Kazakhs do, where they pick a singular strike that is working or shot selection, and they double it or triple it or quadruple it. And I feel like Ian Garry is really good in the clinch to turn away after this happens. After these punches come out or these knees come out that Shavkat likes to do, I think Ian is very, very comprehensive in the way that he gets out of the way. He's evasive. I think Ian will clinch him up, turn him, and get back to the center like I outlined. That being said, Ian can do very well up against the cage in the clinch, but Shavkat's cage work is very good, and the way that he moves his opponent and lulls them into shots and the right shot selection up against the cage will cause Ian a lot of trouble because of what happened in the Ian Garry and Jeff Neal fight. If he hasn't corrected the cage problem that Ian has when his back's up against the cage, Ian struggles when people cut the cage and come forward on him to land a shot. He needs his range. He's a very long person. You know, Ian Garry, at his height with his range, he could fight at middleweight, light heavyweight, or heavyweight. He's big enough, he's long enough. But he does struggle with people cutting the cage on him and coming forward to land that shot when his back's against the cage. When he can't leave going backwards, he needs to either pick an angle left or right. And a lot of the times, if you have a very good striker, they like the angle that the head's going because he's so tall, he can't move that much when he's there in the cage. So Jeff Neal, if you watch that fight, every time that Ian had his back closer to the cage, Jeff would miss the first shot, a lead hook, and then he'll crack him with a cross or a straight after, a power shot, and he was whipping his head back. So he was cracking him every single time when he had it back to the cage. Shavkat is a march forward fighter, and in the striking, Ian likes to move back a lot, and Shavkat's high damage. So if Shavkat hits him with a big shot and Ian tries to play the outside, Shavkat can actually corral him into the cage and then therefore land his big shots. He's good up against the cage, good in the clinch, and then he can land a big shot. This will be a serious problem for Ian if he can't gain respect in the striking early. It's going to be a serious problem because if Shavkat doesn't fear his power, Shavkat's going to run through those punches and he's going to hurt him in the boxing because Shavkat is the tougher man. He's the tougher person. He's the stronger fighter from a physical standpoint, and he is might have a stronger will and stronger heart. He's a tougher person. So especially on the cage, Shavkat can hurt him. So if Ian engages in the jiu-jitsu, because he won't shoot a takedown on him, in my opinion, if he introduces the jiu-jitsu into the match by maybe ending up on Shavkat's back or some shit in a weird scramble, or they scramble together and he gets a half guard or Shavkat trips or some shit. Let's say it happens and they engage in this situation. Shavkat's mix-up of the grappling from wrestling to ground and pound to submissions back to wrestling, the fact that he can do the judo jits wrestling hybrid or triple threat similar to GSP, he can use all of the grappling techniques together. I think that his his style is way more effective than Ian's style. I feel like Ian just has jiu-jitsu and that's about it. I've never seen him do a trip. I've never seen him shoot a takedown. And even maybe if he did, the reason I haven't seen it is because it wasn't a good one. I think this will be a serious problem for Ian. If Shavkat and Ian get into those grappling exchanges, Shavkat can definitely out-grapple him there. Another thing Ian likes to do is I've been seeing that he's going for leg locks on people. Now, we saw what Neil Magny did against Shavkat when he went for a leg lock. And shout out a coach that went on the show multiple times, Anything Combat Show, was Steve Hordinsky. And Steve's worked with Neil Magny on leg locks. And he's fucking legit. Neil Magny's leg locks are legit. So for Shavkat to not fear them at all and not even care and give them no respect means that Shavkat dominated Neil Magny in grappling, and Neil Magny is a grappler. Ian striked Neil Magny. There's a difference in skill level here. So, in conclusion, Shavkat Rakhmonov is a very good fighter and will finish Ian Garry around the fourth round after hurting him to the body, and he'll KO ground and pound him after maybe a little bit of submission offense. And the submissions will be very difficult on Ian as he's training with the shooter box guys. Shavkat will ground and pound him with punches and elbows, and if he doesn't get that and he chooses to get the submission, he might get an arm triangle on him. I think that's the way he'll submit him if he does. If this doesn't occur, I think Ian Garry will win the decision on him by point fighting him and taking away Shavkat's cardio. But I would say Shavkat ground and pounds Ian Garry in the fourth. I'll just add finally that I believe it's too soon for Ian Garry to be fighting Shavkat Rakhmonov, and that if Ian and Shavkat were the same age and you give Ian another 3 years of experience, then maybe he can beat Shavkat. But, you know, they exist at two different points. I think that if Ian levels up in the future and Shavkat is a little bit older and it's a more even fight, then we might have to reconsider it. But for now, it's too soon, and because of it, Shavkat will beat him, even though it will be a close fight at the very start. Let's move on to John Jones. Some person spoke to me the other day and they said, so, you know, John Jones is ducking Tom Aspinall. And I said, hey man, I go, John could probably beat Tom Aspinall. And everyone got annoyed at me. They're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Tom Aspinall's the best fighter of all fucking all time. He's got two titles and defended the interim title, the interim heavyweight championship. But then go to Tom Aspinall's Tapology. Go to his Tapology and look who he's beaten. He's beaten Curtis Blaydes, who hasn't done too much in the sport, getting KO'd by Derek Lewis. He beat Sergey Pavlovich, who at the time was on a win streak. However, Sergey just lost to Volkov badly, badly. Martin Tybura hasn't really done too much. Volkov, that's a very good win. Sergey Spivak's no good. Andrei Arlovsky, old man. And then all the rest are Jake Collier. Like, these are not good enough names. So truthfully, in my opinion, in this streak, because I think he's undefeated in the UFC, I would say in this streak, he's only truthfully beaten Alexander Volkov, which is a great win. However, someone like Cyril Gane has beaten Alexander Volkov, and Cyril Gane got tapped by John Jones in 1 minute, if you recall that fucking fight, for the heavyweight championship of the world. I think the argument that you say, hey man, Tom's undefeated in the UFC, he's earned his spot. In my opinion, I think he needs like one more fight before he fights John Jones. And to be honest, I think John, in what he's done in the sport, I think that for them to say to him, hey, there's a new up-and-comer, just like how Anthony Smith was a new up-and-comer, just how Dominic Reyes was an up-and-comer, like Thiago Santos went on a run,
you know, all these up-and-comers at Cyril Gane. We saw an up-and-comer fight John Jones, which was Cyril Gane, because he might have gotten robbed against Francis Ngannou, because that was a very close fight. So we've seen this happen before, and John decimated Cyril Gane and wasn't even close. So unfortunately for Tom, he thinks that his merit is that he's gotten all these wins to then fight for the belt. Yes, that is totally true. But you're actually talking about arguably the best fighter to ever live in John Jones, someone who has 17 championships. Tom Aspinall has no champions on his career, including Arlovski. He's got no champions. John Jones has been like 17. He's got 17 championships. He has heaps of championships, and he's beaten heaps of UFC champions.
So what do you do with him?
Truthfully, John Jones should only have legacy fights now that he's in his old age. He's like 37. A legacy fight for John Jones looks like a Francis Ngannou, looks like Alex Pereira, looks like a Stipe Miocic. He just beat Stipe Miocic. If you look at the stats of the casual fan base that watch it, you say, who's John Jones beat? You say, Daniel Cormier, he's been Stipe Miocic. They go, oh, John has beaten some good people. You say to the casual fan base, who's Tom Aspinall been? Sergey Spivak, Sergey Pavlovich, and Curtis Blaze. My mate Nicky T would probably say, who the fuck are those people? Who the fuck is Sergey Spivak? Right? So yeah, I get it. In a perfect reality, if it was a different heavyweight champion and the person only had 3 belts in the UFC, of course I'd be calling for Tom to fight him. But this is John Jones. John Jones, he's looking for someone to have at least something more to their career. You know, if Tom Aspinall had been 4 UFC champions, he would be asking for Tom Aspinall. John has never gone away from a hard fight. Like, I know that people are saying, you know, he's older now, so he's choosing Stipe over Tom. Stipe does far more for John's legacy in all-time MMA than Tom could ever. I think the best thing for John Jones to do is probably vacate the heavyweight title, fight Alex Pereira, seeing that Alex Pereira's already been like 6 or 7 UFC champions. That's a real legacy fight. Alex Pereira's beaten. He's got like 5 UFC titles, 2 different divisions, 6 or 7 different champions, KO'd every single one except Jan Blachowicz. That's a real fucking competitor. That's an all-time best fighter of all time, like number 13 probably on Tapology if you search it up. That's a fighter that adds so much merit to John Jones's legacy and career. Tom Aspinall. If John beats Tom Aspinall, it does nothing for John. And if Tom Aspinall beats John, it does everything for Tom. So it's just a stupid argument to make. Now, what would I say? What would I say? Let's say John fights Alex Pereira. And you say, who should John fight next? If Tom Aspinall gets a win over a Cyril Gane or something like that, I would say, yeah, let's do Tom Aspinall versus John Jones. But right now in the current landscape, yes, Tom Aspinall has earned a title shot to fight for titles. Yes, he should be fighting for the championship. But I don't think he should fight John, because John's earned that. He's the only person in the UFC that's earned that. He's fought for belts since he was 22 to 37 now. That is 15 years of championships. That is 17 UFC titles in 2 divisions now. I just feel like there should be a little bit more respect for John Jones. It's not a fight where, oh, he's dodging Tom Aspinall because he knows Tom will beat him. I think John thinks that he would beat Tom Aspinall. I think John thinks that he would beat any fighter to ever live. That's why he calls himself the greatest fighter of all time. I wouldn't be surprised if John fights Alex Pereira and then goes to fight Tom Aspinall. Now, this is a hard argument to make. I understand that a lot of people would have an issue with the fact that, oh, Tom's not fighting John. Like, I get it. In a usual setting, the interim title holder should not defend the interim title and should automatically be given an immediate title shot against the undisputed champion. The champion, to make it undisputed. But in this case in particular, it is disrespectful to John Jones, who's done so much in the sport, to give him a fresh up-and-comer, young up-and-comer, for the sake of, this is the competition, this is what he has to do, this is the process of what we're doing. It's like, we just saw John fight Thiago Santos. We just saw John defend his belt at light heavyweight and beat Alexander Gustafsson and all these guys from literally 2012 all the way to like 2018. We saw all of those title defenses. What's another title defense? Doesn't make any sense for John. The reason he took so much time off is so he can go to heavyweight and do something new. If he's just defending fucking titles up against people with no name value, even though Tom's known, but name value in the aspect of achievement, then John should fight Alex Pereira. And if you hate me for that opinion, that's all right. I'm happy with that. That's all we have time for. Thank you for tuning in. This has been the Anything Combat Show with Johnny K. I'll see you next time.
I'm coming for the kill.